Man. Well, it is Christmas Day, and lots of people have different thoughts about Christmas and what it means, and, you know, is it a spiritual thing, is it, you know, and all these back and forth about, you know, the history of it and all that. And fortunately, we're not going to try to straighten all that out this morning. What we are going to do is look into the book of Luke, and since it is Christmas, we're going to look at maybe just for a little bit. It's funny, Pastor Greg, you know, it's like the one time that I come up here to preach, he's like, okay, now keep it short. It's Sunday. It's a Christmas morning. It's like, keep it short. All those Sundays he's up here, and when I get here, he's like, keep it short. But all kidding aside, we are going to try to keep it short, and hopefully I won't get the hook from anybody this morning. But we are going to look for a few minutes at the book of Luke, chapter 1, if you want to turn there. And since it is Christmas, I'm not going to look at maybe the traditional way we might look at Christmas. We're going to look at the prequel to Christmas. We're going to look at the life of, actually, the birth of John the Baptist and how the angel appears to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and hopefully glean some things from that this morning. And if I had a sermon title for this, it would be When God Breaks the Silence. When God Breaks the Silence. How do we respond in the silence? And how do we respond when He speaks? How do we respond in the silence, the in-between times when we're waiting on God? We sang a few songs this morning about waiting on the Lord, about putting our hope in Him in the times when it's quiet, in the times when it's dark. Maybe we don't know what's going on. How do we respond in the silence? And then how do we respond when God breaks the silence and God speaks? We'll see how Zacharias and Elizabeth respond to the silence, Zacharias specifically, the father of John the Baptist, and then we'll see his response when God speaks. And we'll see also the grace of God, even when our response to his word maybe isn't what it should be, God in his love gives us a second chance. He still shows his grace, even when time and disappointment have challenged our hearts, really, with what he has to say. When God does break the silence, sometimes our heart has been affected and changed and challenged by the silence and the quiet. But then how do we respond when he does speak? Why don't we just pray right now? Father, we thank you again for this day and for your word. Lord, we trust you. We put our hope in you. We affirm our commitment to you, Lord. We are people that fall short, and we need your grace. Lord, we are waiting on you. We are waiting for you. And for people whose lives are silent or might feel barren, I pray, Lord, that they would have hope today and know that you remember, Lord, that you hear our prayers. And that, Father, you do, in your time, you do speak to your people for your purpose and for our good. Give us ears to hear this morning, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, we'll read maybe the first, actually from verses 5 to 7. Verses 5 to 7. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias. Some translations translate it Zechariah. It's just an alternate pronunciation. Zacharias of the division of Abiyah, and his wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. How would you like that to be said about your life? Both were righteous in the sight of God and walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. In verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Don't you like the way he says that? Advanced in years. Like a real nice way of saying they were old. Do we have anyone advanced in years this morning? We've got a few amongst us. We got people waving both hands in the back there. Advanced in years. Is it possible to serve God faithfully and still be barren? We see right here the example from their lives, right? In the silence, how are they responding to it? Zacharias is a priest who's righteous in God's sight. It also says that Elizabeth was of the Aaronic lineage, observing all the Lord's commands. But in verse 7, it says that she was barren. Have you ever served God faithfully and remained barren? Now, this is a rhetorical question. Please don't answer. Think about it. Have you ever served God faithfully and still remained barren? Have you been waiting in the silence, wondering, God, what's going on? Well, take heart, Zechariah's story doesn't end there, and your story doesn't end there. And that's what I want you to hear this morning. Your story doesn't end there. The question, though, is how do we respond in the silence? How do we respond in the quiet times? Let's see how he responds. Let's read verses 8 to 10. Now, it came about while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the house of the incense offering. So how does Zacharias respond? Now, his wife is barren, but it says in the King James, I like the way the King James said it. It says, he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, man. This guy is official. He is standing on his watch, taking his stand, doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's on duty serving God faithfully. Why? Because in Leviticus 16, God said so. Pastor Greg said this last night. Why do we do this? Well, God said to do it. God said to do it. And it's in serving, Pastor Greg said, that our love grows. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but Zacharias, even in the silence, even in the barrenness, is still being faithful. But God, who's going to be priest after me? God, don't you want to raise up, don't you want to give me a son so that somebody can carry this on? Who's going to do your work, God? Have you ever asked those questions of God? God, why is it this way? I don't understand. I thought you said, like, you know, way back when you were going to send someone, Malachi said, like 400 years ago. And for 400 years, there's been silence. There's some things in the intertestamental, the Maccabees and things happening, but largely it's been quiet for a long time. But here's Zacharias, 400 years since Malachi, many years into his priestly service, he's advanced in years, and yet his wife is barren. His wife is barren. How do we respond to the silence? Some of you said, yeah, it's possible to serve God faithfully and still be barren, but how do we respond? How do we do that? Do we keep on serving God? Do we get discouraged? Do we do, as it says here, that he is standing his watch at the appointed time? I don't know how long you've been waiting. I don't know how long you've been barren, but there's something else that Pastor Greg said that's always stuck with me for years now. He said, when the lights go out, keep working till the lights come back on. Don't stop working just because the lights went out. Don't stop working just because it's quiet, because you feel like you can't hear God speaking. Zacharias keeps working year after year. God, are you going to give us a child? It's quiet, Lord. You haven't spoken to me. He's faithfully executing his office. And we're challenged. How do we respond in the silence? Do we faithfully execute our office even though we're waiting and we don't understand, even though we're barren and still being faithful? Habakkuk sets a great example for us in the third chapter of Habakkuk. I could read the whole chapter, but I'll let you do that later, maybe in the interest of time. But it's a powerful chapter, and this prophet has some insight about barren times. And I'll read a few verses from that chapter 3 of Habakkuk. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet according to Shigionoth. Lord, I've heard the report about you, and I fear. Lord, revive your work in the midst of years, in our days, Lord. In the midst of our years, renew it, make it known. For the Holy One, in his splendor, covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise, and his radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapse. His ways are everlasting. I heard, and my inward parts trembled at the sound. My lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble. And here's where he says, in verse 17, chapter 3 of Habakkuk, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. For the Lord is my strength, and he's made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me to walk on high places. But prophet, don't you know there's no figs on the vine? There's no fruit on the vine? There's no animals in the stall? Don't you know it's like barren? It's barren. Yet, he says, will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Habakkuk and Zacharias understood something about trusting God and being faithful even in the silence. Do we begin to falter? Do we begin to wonder, who's going to come up after me? God, what's your purpose? I don't understand. Or do we say, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord? So we have to respond to the silence, but what happens when God breaks the silence? You'd think it would be easy. You'd think after all this waiting and Zacharias has advanced in years and finally God's going to speak and do something and keep his word that he promised hundreds of years before, seems like it would just be easy. God's going to speak and that's it, man, and it's great. Well, how do we respond when God breaks the silence? Let's read on in Luke 1. Read verses 11 to 17. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." God wants you to know your petition has been heard. Praying in the silence, praying in the time, waiting. Your petition has been heard, for he will be great in the sight. Excuse me, verse 14. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at your son's birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. But wait, that's before the cross. How is it he's filled with the Holy Spirit? I love it when God breaks your theology and like throws it out the window. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God breaks the silence for his purpose, for his glory, but for our good in his time. God breaks the silence for his purpose, to his glory, for your good, for my good, but it's in his time. It's in his time. When he says, the angel says, there'll be no more barrenness, no more silence, so that John may turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children. John, you know this word John, this name John, it means God's gracious gift. God's gracious gift. The angel is literally saying to him, God is going to give you this gracious gift that's going to turn the hearts of the children that are fathers and the fathers back to their children. This gracious gift from God. God has a purpose when he speaks. God wants to turn the hearts of the disobedient to wisdom and to the attitude of the righteousness. How about this? God wants to end your barrenness in order to turn people's hearts towards him. God wants to end your barrenness. God wants you to know the gift of his grace so that people's hearts are turned towards him. Amen? And he says, right now, I'm going to keep what I promised back then. Now I'm making good on the word that I spoke 400 years ago through Malachi to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's for our good. For our good. He wants us to be in fellowship with him, and that's for our good. God breaks the silence. Now we saw how Zacharias remained faithful in the silence. Let's see how he responds when God breaks the silence. Let's look at verse 18 to 20. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." There again, he's a little nicer about his wife. I'm old and my wife, well, she's kind of advanced in years, you might say. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time. Zacharias was faithful. Yes. But something in the time of waiting, the silence, something in the years of service, something had gotten to him. He was faithful, which is good. But somewhere in his heart, he had been disappointed. He had been hurt. He had been hurt by the disappointment of time or the disappointment of waiting, wondering what was going to happen. And now when God speaks through Gabriel, he's like, I don't want to risk my heart anymore. I don't want to stick it out there and hope for this thing to happen. I don't want to just throw it out there and then what if I'm disappointed again? So what does Zacharias say? He says, well, how can I be sure that it's going to happen? I don't want to risk it anymore unless I know for sure. How can I be certain? I want to be certain this thing's going to happen. And Pastor Greg, maybe God has something in this for you. I know what you've been going through and what you've been praying about and the vision that God's put in your heart. So I hope and pray there's something in this for you. But there's almost this thing in him in the time of the waiting. In the waiting, his heart has been hurt by disappointment. And he says, how can I be sure? Can you tell me? Don't tell me unless there's some way I can know that it's true. Sometimes the truth is spoken and we're slow to believe because we've been hurt by disappointment, by waiting. Don't let the pain of disappointment, don't let the pain of the silence and barrenness allow you to shut down your heart so as to avoid being hurt again. Don't let it shut down that thing in you that wants to believe, that wants to dream, that wants to say God has a purpose, that wants to say God's going to do something. Even though it's barren, even though it's been silent, I know God is going to do something. Sometimes we're waiting so long, we don't recognize his word when he tells us. He says, your prayers have been heard in verse 13. Your petition has been heard. God says, your petition has been heard, but will you pass this test of the heart? Will you pass this test of the heart when he speaks? Will you rise in faith and will you respond by believing his word? And Gabriel says, he says, I am Gabriel. He's literally saying, I am the warrior of God. I'm the man of God, it says, literally translated, the warrior of God. I stand in the presence of God and I'm coming here to bring you. This is supposed to be good news. This is supposed to be good news, and somehow you're making it into something negative. When you start to see good news as something fearful or negative, the heart has been disconnected. It's been shut down. When good news becomes bad news, that's when there's a problem in the heart. Gabriel says, I've come straight from the throne room to give you this. It's supposed to be good news. Your wife is going to have a child. Well, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to believe. I'm afraid to believe. But then Gabriel says, you're going to be silent because you are afraid to believe since you shut down your heart. Since you didn't believe, now your mouth will be shut. Now your mouth will be closed. The words will come true, he says in verse 20. He says it shall be fulfilled in their proper time. Now there's this really cool thing in the Greek. There's this Greek word chronos, which means like we think of time on a clock, chronology, the way that it occurs. And then this other word, kairos, which means at a specific time or an appointed time. Gabriel is saying this is on God's calendar. This is an appointed specific time, and it's going to happen at the time, the kairos time. It's supposed to happen at the appointed time. Remember we said God speaks in his time for our good and for his purpose. Let's read on, verse 21 to 25. And the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. Why is it taking so long? So when he came out, it says that he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. And it came about when the days of his priestly service were ended that he went back home, and after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. And she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. Zacharias is slow to believe, but yet Elizabeth still becomes pregnant. She received God's favor and shed her disgrace, it says in verse 25. Have you ever felt ashamed at your barrenness? Have you ever felt like I'm supposed to be further along in this than I am? Well, God wants to take away your shame. God wants to take away the disgrace of what you would see as your barrenness. But in spite of Zacharias responding with a pained heart that had been hurt and being slow to believe, despite that, God still extends his gracious gift. God still extends an end to the barrenness. Just like today, God extends his grace to us in spite of our own selves. God's heart, though hurt through the disappointment of unbelief, continues to extend his gracious gift to those who have been barren. He gives him a second chance. There's a second chance for even the slow believer this morning. Now, my wife will tell you this when she's like trying to explain something to me and it takes a little while to explain it. I love to skip ahead. I'm like, just tell me the part. Tell me the punchline. I want to cut to the chase. There's something in this and there's like an end thing. Well, that's what I'm going to do here. I'm going to cut to the chase. Let's read verse 57 of chapter 1 and let's see what happens at the time when John is born. Verse 57, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it came about on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. And his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John, God's gracious gift. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who's called by that name. And they made a sign to his father as to what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote on as follows, his name is God's gracious gift. And they were all astonished. At once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak praise of God. And fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly on him. They said, we're going to name him Zacharias, right? Now, Zacharias means God remembered or God remembers. And she said, no. We're going to name him God's gracious gift. It's not good enough to say that God remembered me in my barrenness. No, God has answered and kept the word that he said he would keep. This is God's gracious gift. The people said, no, well, there's no one like that. The people around want to keep her back in that place where she was just hoping for what was going to happen. And she says, no, this isn't just that God has remembered in my place of barrenness, but God has actually brought the fulfillment of what he promised. Of what he promised. Somebody heard what I just said. No, not only does God remember, he keeps his word and gives a gracious gift. You're going to call him John. Be careful what they say. Be careful what the people say when God is giving you his grace. Some people want to keep you back in the land of barrenness. But Elizabeth said, no, sir, this is God's gracious gift. I'm not barren anymore. It's great that God remembers me in the barrenness, but now he's actually brought fulfillment of that he promised. You know, there's another person who had a chance to respond to this guy, Gabriel. In verses 35 to 38, I'm going to jump back there. Verse 35, it says, the angel answered and said to her, to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the servant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Here's another person who responds to God when he breaks the silence. She has a little different response than Zacharias had. Zacharias said, I want you to prove it. Prove it to me. She said, God, I'm your servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. How will you respond? How will you respond in the silence? Will you remain faithful like Zacharias and Elizabeth said they were blameless and he was there on his watch serving in the temple? And then how will you respond when God speaks? Are you going to open up your heart and dare to believe again? Or will we shrink back because of the disappointment of the silence? I don't know where you are. I don't know if you feel barren this morning and you feel like you're waiting on God. I don't know if you've heard God speak and you have a chance to respond. I pray that like Habakkuk, I pray that like Zacharias eventually responded. He said, his name will be called God's gracious gift. His name will be called John. He believed. He saw it and God gave him a second chance. But I pray that we respond like Mary. When God breaks the silence in your life, just as he did with Mary, choose to believe his word. Solomon said, guard your heart. If you're in the place of silence or barrenness, guard your heart. Guard your heart, Solomon says in Proverbs, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart. Don't let silence and disappointment injure your heart and keep you from being willing to take that step of faith and believe. And when God speaks, dare to believe. Dare to believe, just like Mary did. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, help us to embrace the times when it is quiet, the times when we do feel barren, we feel like there's no fruit on the vine. Help us to see that you have a purpose, not only when your word is fulfilled, but you have a purpose, especially in the quiet times, especially in the silence, especially in the barrenness. Lord, I pray that you would find us faithful, even when the lights appear to be out. And I pray, Lord, that when the lights come back on, Lord, we would have the faith to take you at your word. Lord, that we wouldn't hesitate, but we would say as Mary did when you gave her the gift of your word. The word of God that was God. That's impossible to believe, but with God all things are possible. I pray that we would take you at your word today, that we would believe what's possible. Be it done unto us according to your word. Thank you, Lord. Amen.